Welcome to the New York Times podcast. Yo, Kevin, you guys really made it. Russ is really here at your show of music news and criticism. I'm your host, middle-aged Sinatra, a.k.a. John Garamonica.
Let me get up in this bit like what's good, ho. Gripping this grain, I spit to release the pain. Pippin' ain't a thing, what's good? Hold up, let me get it right. I've been contemplating life, I've been grinding on a fight, I've been writing on a flight. Roll up on them like that backwood, better act good or get smacked good. I'm just trying to live life, I'm just trying to get right. Anybody got advice? I know I'm a workaholic. This level's to the litmus. Pull up with that new in the driveway. So fresh, I double park that view sideways. When it comes to life, I do it my way. Smoked out 180 on the highway. Yeah, I'm sitting shotgun. Gotta let my shawty drive. I'm too alive. Lead up, crucified. It's just you and I. You know it's do or die. It's just you and I. Girl, you know it's do or die. Do or die.
Okay, that is. I'm trying to soften my cheek muscles because the rictus is real here. That was a song called, and please accept my apologies in advance, Boom Trap Protocol.
You got through it.
And just for everybody playing along at home and curious about grammar, Boom Trap is one word with a capital T. And that is off of Bobby Tarantino, Duh, the new mixtape that recently was number one on the Billboard album charts by your boy Logic. I need an in-house masseuse for this episode specifically. So as many podcast listeners may know, I have somewhat studiously avoided covering Logic. In the last couple years, apparently 5 years, I've been avoiding it. I've been avoiding it longer than I knew I was avoiding it. And it's complicated, and I have a lot of things to say about Logic and his music and what he represents. And then I was fortunate enough to read a piece by Lindsay Zolads from The Ringer, who started to talk about some of the things that I wanted to talk about. And I want to talk about Logic on the podcast with Lindsay Zolads, so I got Lindsay Zolads from The Ringer.
Hi.
Lindsay's here. This is actually a pretty complicated episode because we're going to touch on a lot of stuff, right? Logic is kind of the jumping off point, but we're also, Lindsay, you also wrote last year about XXXTentacion, and I've been thinking a lot about the sort of big umbrella of hip hop, certainly in internet driven hip hop in the last year, and X and Logic kind of occupying these polar spaces in that. And then when we were emailing in anticipation of this episode, one of the things that you said was thinking about X really reminded you about Brand New and kind of the struggles with emo and whatnot. And I guess that made me think that really the theme of this episode, even though we're starting with your boy Psychological, is male frailty.
Yeah, I'm always ready to talk about male frailty.
You didn't even have to prep me. I did not doubt it. So we're going to start with... This is going to be rough, guys. This is going to just work with me. Okay, so let's engage with Logic. You opened your piece by mentioning a scene in the episode of Rapture. Rapture is a documentary series about rappers that premiered on Netflix a couple
about
weeks.
About Def Jam rappers.
True story.
Which, that's
true
a whole nother.
Are they all thread. Def Jam rappers? Mostly Def Jam rappers.
Yes, I think so.
I mean, Dave East definitely has an episode.
He shares an episode with Nas, which I think is... as smart a choice.
You have definitely
you're
engaged
there.
With Rapture more
yeah.
than I have,
okay.
to be fair. but you mentioned a scene in the Logic episode. There are 60 minutes of Logic content on Netflix right now. You underscored a scene that also really stuck with me after I watched it. You want to talk to people through it?
Sure. So
we didn't get nearly enough M&Ms, by the way.
I know.
We might have to take an M&M break.
And fill our cup of yeah. male tears.
True story.
So there's a scene in Rapture, in the Logic episode of Rapture, that I think it's like a promotional Q&A he's doing before
his very weird, like,
album came out. Like,
yeah,
it's
like
not
a fan Q&A, but like there's no real context for
which
it.
Which is very Logic, too. Like he just, I think the vibe is like he just wants to talk some stuff out.
Yo,
his
whole
fans.
Life is kind of a fan Q&A. Also, did you get that weird press release the other day that was like Logic has impromptu meet and greet on a plane?
Yeah.
Which is basically just like, I was on a plane. Like, I've had impromptu meet and greets on planes.
What?
Haven't you ever talked to someone on a plane?
I think I have.
You had a meet and greet.
Yeah.
It was impromptu.
Were they his fan? I can't even. Let's not even go there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We got to
move along. So anyway, so much like this plane, this is an actual promo Q&A he's doing. I think it was right before his 2017 album, Everybody, came out because he's wearing the Everybody hoodie,
and we will,
as is all his entourage. He's very good at branding.
And I will assure you, we will speak about Everybody.
Okay. Are you all right? You need a minute?
I'm like alternating between hot flashes and cold flashes. That's really,
tell, yeah.
That's like genuinely how I feel right now. Okay.
Good. Settle in.
Yes.
We got a lot to discuss. Okay. So Logic, promotional Q&A. Fans are asking him questions, and this kid who probably can't be older than 18 comes up to the mic. Seems like he maybe has anxiety or some sort of social thing
challenge.
Going on.
He's got a challenge.
Yeah, which is a lot of, you know, Logic has rapped about his anxiety. Like, a lot of the connection he has with his fans is around talking about those issues. So this kid, very nervous to talk to him. His hand is trembling as he's, like, reading a question on his phone, even though the question, I think, is just, like, can I get a hug?
Yes.
But, you know, and then he asks him, you know, also about, like, the responsibility of being Logic, and
but also
on the verge of tears, and then starts sobbing. Logic invites him up, and there's something just very mega churchy about it. It's more like, and again, the kind of question of like, what is this event? It's not a concert. Someone asks him at one point, like, are you going on tour? And he's like, yeah, but that seems secondary to
whatever this is.
Yeah, this connection that he's having with his fans. After I wrote the piece, someone said on Twitter that, like, he reminded them, like, it reminds them of, like, Christian rock, some of what,
totally
and I
true.
Hadn't
yep.
thought of that, but there is this weird, I think I called it spiritual Esperanto in my piece, that it's just this catch-all, like, it's not religious, but it's vaguely kind of spiritual, and we're all going to be okay.
And it's easy and it's sort of easy to find yourself in it, because it's not, even though there is weird stuff on Everybody that is crypto religious. But it's easy, but I agree, and you talked about this in your piece. I think Craig sort of alludes to it a little bit in his review of Bobby Tarantino 2, and the scene in the Rapture episode that really gave me the most of that was when he's singing. You know, he's like sitting at a keyboard at one point and like singing, I don't even know what song it is, but and he's not a great singer, but he's like an emphatic singer. He sort of like hits a note and kind of like lets you know he's hitting the note.
Yeah, and there's even a churchy vibe to that, right? There's kind of a like hymnal quality to. I don't know. It's I think that scene of the Q&A gave me like the clearest glimpse
of what his
of
thing
what
is.
His yeah what his connection with his fans is that has obviously been. So, like, that is what has propelled him into the mainstream conversation is kind of how well he's tapped into this particular kind of fan.
And a thing I've been thinking a lot about, not just in hip-hop, but in pop more broadly, is, you know, we're seeing fewer and fewer centrist pop stars, right? Like, we're, you know, like, or we're seeing, like, maybe a struggle to be a centrist pop star. That's something that's an ongoing thing. And, like, you know, for example, like, you wrote about Justin Timberlake recently and, like, this sort of very obvious, like, this guy will own the conversation. And it's just like,
yeah. Crickets. Remember Man of the Woods?
There was a billboard for it the other day, and it was like, when did that happen? And I was like, oh, that wasn't that long
like
ago?
Like 2 months ago.
Yeah, it seems like 6 years ago.
It just disappeared.
But so this is an issue, right, with or a phenomenon that's happening. And Logic, I think, is reflective of kind of the current state of internet fandom-driven pop-level celebrity, which is someone who, like, aggregates a lot of people, can fill an arena, theoretically. I mean, I did see Logic in an arena with G-Eazy.
Another Rapture artist.
Shouts to can I just do a quick sidebar?
Please.
Shouts to Gerald, who apparently at Radio City a couple weeks ago on stage said that I don't like him.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Beef.
I don't have the audio of it, but okay. Three different people told me. He's got great hair. Okay, but back to Logic. So here's the thing. He has been able to connect with a lot of people. And I think what you see in those crowd shots, especially in Rapture, and also at the Logic show that I went to, you see they're young, They're multiracial. Mm-hmm. They seem like extremely good kids.
Yeah.
Like they're super good kids. It reminds me like in college of like Christian fellowship kids, like people who were very, very earnest, who took their culture extremely earnestly. Uh-huh. There doesn't seem to be a lot of rebellion, you know, sort of ostensibly the subtext of, I don't want to say the Rapture documentary series, but like hip hop, it's outsider-ish, it's rebellion, it's confrontational. Here is a guy who is using the language of hip-hop, but to espouse basically a completely different set of values. Mm-hmm. That said, there are moments on Bobby Tarantino, too, where he wants to let you know he really does the do. But but that is not the sort of...
The diet do, maybe, yeah. You can say. Just going to leave that there.
Oh, there's definitely going to be a song called Diet Do on Bobby Tarantino 3. Congratulations.
Thank you.
He's your G-Eazy now.
I love it.
But it's all – that entire value set is different. You know, logics. He's got – they're good kids. Maybe they're video gamers. They're all extremely earnest. And hip-hop is a language, but it is not necessarily the same language that other rappers who are equally famous – it's like a dialect almost. It feels slightly to the left.
Hmm.
And I think that's in part why I think I have kind of resisted engaging, because it didn't feel like it was part of the center of the conversation, at least the one that I'm most interested in. That's something that I have had to kind of gut check myself about, if I'm being honest, because I don't want to be an unfair critic. I don't want to be derelict, you know? I don't want to like ignore a thing just because it like makes me want to hold my nose.
Mm.
I'd rather like actually engage with it and then hold my nose.
Yeah. So how was it engaging with it for you?
It was rough. I mean, I just want to be really straight. So prior to this, and just like putting all cards on the table, prior to preparing for this, like you can Google search John Caramonica Logic and like nothing will come up. You know, I did not write anything. So prior to preparing for this podcast, I had not ever listened to a full-length Logic project. I'd hear bits and pieces, watch a video here and there, but I'd never listened to a full-length project. And I've now listened to two. I've listened to the Bobby Tarantino 2 mixtape and to Everybody, the previous record. On the positive side.
Okay, let's start there.
Yeah, let's start there. And there are positives. Okay, so in around 2001, 2002, I listened to a lot of independent hip hop, you know, like real backpack. Like mm-hmm. I went to Scribble Jam a couple times. Up on Scribble Jam?
I'm not.
Scribble Jam was basically like it was in Cincinnati. It was like a battle rap, but it was basically like for white battle rappers. Uh-huh. Like Eminem came through there.
Uh-huh.
Like I went a couple times in the early 2000s. Logic is like a primo Scribble Jam era rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like, you know, if you just plucked him and like dropped him at Scribble Jam 03, he'd have done great. The fans were there, you know. It's mm-hmm. like it was a micro scene. The way that he raps, the kind of contrived complexity, yeah. And also kind of like nudge nudge nyuk nyuk punchlines, like that would have been perfect in that moment. The fact that his name was Psychological. And he shortened it like that. To be honest, everything that I really need to know about Logic, I learned in the first 60 seconds.
And
of
wasn't
the
it like his mentor was like, pick an adjective that describes you, and that's your rap name. And he was like, Psychological, which just like I'll leave that there.
Well, Lindsay, what's an adjective that describes you?
Psychological.
Okay, mine is Fraught.
Ooh.
That's my rap.
So name. That's your rap.
That's
name.
That's my rap name.
Fraught. I like it.
It's good. So the way that Logic raps and the texture is a little off for me, but like the cadences, the structures, those all feel really familiar to me. I feel like I've lived through them. And I say that both positively and negatively. I mean, obviously I lived through them 15 years ago or 16 years ago, but also I understand the frame of reference. But there's a lot of really derivative stuff, especially on the mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of like, I listen to Drake, I listen to Nas, I listen to Future, like I listen to a little bit of everything. There's a lot of that. And you made a good point about the suicide song.
Yeah.
Maybe let's listen to that song. I mean, it's not that anyone hasn't heard it already, but let's listen to that song. This is 1-800-273-8255, and it's Logic with Alessia Cara and Khalid.
I've been on a low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on a low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I don't wanna be alive. I don't wanna be alive. I just wanna die today. I just wanna die. Other shit I'm talking about, they think they know it. I've been praying for somebody to say me, no one's heroic. And my life don't even matter, I know it, I know it. I know I'm hurting deep down, but can't show it. I never had a place to call my own. I never had a home, ain't nobody calling my phone. Where you been, where you at, what's on your mind? They say every life precious, but nobody care about mine. I've been on a low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on a low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive. You don't gotta die today. You don't gotta die. I want you to
so, be Lindsay, maybe if the folks haven't read your piece, talk a little bit about what you said about this song, which I thought was like really kind of spot on and kind of captures the Logic problem kind of in its essence.
This is kind of, it's his one mainstream hit. I think it went as high as number 2 on the charts. It was very popular last year. You have heard it. You've seen him perform it on some award show.
Sure.
I think he did it at the VMAs and the Grammys pretty similarly.
He ate Macklemore's spot.
Totally. Yes.
Ate it.
He mackled more.
He snapped. Snack Lamord.
Yeah. Anyway, Boom Chat Protocol. So this was kind of the song that introduced most people to Logic. He really kind of made the most of it just on the award show circuit. Mm-hmm. But it is an inspirational song about, the title is The Suicide Hotline.
Correct.
It's, you know, kind of...
It's rooted ostensibly in his personal experience.
Yes, with anxiety and depression, which he's talked about really openly and in detail. But there's something about, you know, it's hard to criticize a song like this because it has helped people. Mm-hmm. And I know that after some of these performances, the calls to the hotline like tripled, and that's awesome.
All noble.
That's great. But as a song for me, it just doesn't really work. And
you made a point about how it kind of shifts from I don't want to be alive to I don't want to die, but kind of like doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't like
narratively
earn it.
So the chorus of that does. But his, you know, so to get there in the actual verses, you kind of need, especially if you're addressing people who are depressed, it just feels like it lacks that step from A to B, from I don't want to be alive to, I do.
And Logic is not scared of a kind of like convoluted narrative.
No.
I mean, he's got 9-minute song on the, or 12-minute song on the last album. You know, it's like he could do it if
and
he
you know what
to.
The name of that song is. I'm not going to say it.
Oh my God, don't make me say
I'm
it.
I'm going to make you say
oh,
it.
Oh, we're going to come back to okay, it. Okay. We're going to come back to
stay
it.
Stay tuned.
Oh, jeez.
So I think that this song has its heart in the right place, but it just doesn't get there for me. I don't think he can... And there's the refrain of like, who can relate? Which is like a text that I have sent so many people. Anyway.
Do you think he's aware? Number 1, do you think he's aware of the meme? And number 2, if he is, is he in on the joke?
No. To the second question.
Not in on the joke.
I think he would just be like really hyped that people are quoting his song.
But you don't think it's like,
I think
LOL.
That phrase in a nutshell is like my problem with it, right? It's just, he sings this really, you know, I'm very sad, I'm depressed. Who can relate? And it's with this like triumphant tone, like, okay, I did it. I solved depression. Now you're happy.
You likened it to him solving a Rubik's Cube.
Because Logic made a song. Yes, which he does there's a lot of videos of him freestyling while solving a Rubik's Cube, which, you know what? Sure.
Cut the check.
I'm doing a Rubik's Cube right now.
Who can relate? Yeah. Who can rotate?
Anyway.
So this logic, this version of logic is, okay, so it's interesting. The intro to the mixtape is Rick and Morty arguing about album logic versus mixtape logic, which I do think there's a meaningful difference between those two.
Yeah.
But really, I'm interested in album logic versus mixtape logic versus self-help seminar logic.
Mm.
And the single is like extremely self-help seminar logic. And I wonder if looking at him through the lens of hip hop is actually the right lens at all. You mentioned Christian rock earlier. When I see him perform or when I interact with some of this music, it feels, I don't want to say Tony Robbins-ish, but it does have aspects of that kind of world. And I wonder if he's borrowing as much from those kinds of traditions as, I mean, these are rap records. Like, I'm not trying to excommunicate him from the genre.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that complicates that is the way that he quotes other rappers and other genres and everything, like, is very interesting to me. And, like, so they're just not even nods, but just, like, direct quotes of, like, Jay-Z and Wayne and Tribe, like, all over
Nas,
his
I think
stuff.
Is on the,
and I think there's this sense of, like, you know, at best you want him to be a gateway to those artists. But I think there's a certain type of logic listener for which he is the substitute to, like, getting deeper into who influenced him and kind of seeing him as this, like...
Are those fans, do you think, really cognizant of all the other stuff, or is logic genuinely the entry point?
I do think he's an entry point for a lot of people, but also, you know, if you don't know that, like, Logic wasn't the first person to say men lie, women lie, numbers don't, you just think he wrote that line, you know? And I bet a lot of his fans do, because he kind of...
Should there be asterisks on all these songs?
In the liner notes?
Yeah.
I mean, on Genius, maybe?
Just before we're completely thrashing this poor kid, let's play one actually kind of good rap song.
Okay.
That's on a Logic album. It's on this Bobby Tarantino 2, and it is called Indica Badu. And it features, I can't believe I'm saying this phrase, these are words I do not say often, a pretty good verse by Wiz Khalifa. So that is a song with two rappers that I do not ordinarily enjoy rapping in a way that I largely enjoy.
Yeah.
And Logic is capable of this. This is the thing. Like, he's flexible. And he's flexible in the way that he borrows kind of ruthlessly from all these other people and styles. I see it as, like, maybe a liability in terms of his life and his creative center. But also, you can kind of like slide into some weird spaces. Mm-hmm. And like, here's an example where it's like, it's sort of a lowbrow song and it's pretty effective.
Well, I might be wrong on this, but I think that he was pretty like open about how he didn't smoke before. And this is his, there's literally a part in the song, which I love, where he just goes, if you don't know by now, I smoke weed. And it's like, and I think that's this song is his like announcement of like, coming, hey, guess what?
I'm coming out, buddy.
Which like, great. What, you know, anxiety.
He's like 3 months away from a MedMen subscription, a MedMen sponsorship.
Anyway.
Shouts to all my weed heads. You know what I'm talking about.
Logic heads. I think there's a sense that he's kind of like loosening up a little bit on this tape. And I think a lot of it is a reaction. Yeah. Like the whole skit of Mixtape Logic versus Album Logic is kind of poking fun at the self-seriousness. I do like that level of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. I much prefer Mixtape Logic to Album Logic if there has to be a choice
there.
But
you like these sex raps, though?
No.
These are rough.
And I fear they will only get rougher as
now that
he's now a single man.
That's
as a,
true.
Yeah, one thing
Do you
I
want
didn't,
to speak on his wife or his soon-to-be ex-wife?
Yeah, so I know that her name...
Jessica Andrea.
They separated like days before this tape came out, I think, which is very awkward because there is a large illustration of her on the cover of the album.
There she is. Yeah. Yes, I see now.
Yep. And there are a lot of references. I mean, a crucial part of Logic's brand has been, I have a hot wife. That is a theme, as a lyrical motif that has cropped up.
Can you believe it kind of vibe? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Should we also talk about how he met his hot wife?
Okay. You're going to tell the story, but I want to say that the two most powerful things that I took away from the episode of Rapture were, number one, that Logic is derived from psychological, and number two, this story.
So several years ago, Logic is just on Twitter, Facebook, like looking at pictures of hot girls that he has like maybe 2 degrees of friendship away from. And he's telling the story, which also shouts to the producers of Rapture for illustrating, like, is as a cartoon entire story.
A flowchart cartoon.
as you do. So Logic sees like this one hot girl and he's like, ooh, and clicks on her profile.
Oh, wait, she was an extra in a music video or a TV show?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Oh, he like looked her up
on IMDb.
Was just like,
there's a lot of social networks and various web networks involved in this story.
Yeah, it's not just.
Can you imagine the New York Times wedding announcement for this? Like how they met.
I hope it's illustrated by the same cartoonist that did the flowchart. Anyway, yeah. So Logic like sees a hot extra in a music video or something, finds her on IMDb, in her photo. She's standing with another hot girl, and he's like, who's that girl? Looks her up and somehow finds her Twitter.
Yeah.
And then in her Twitter picture, she's with a hotter girl.
Oh, yo.
Spoiler. And then he's like, how do I find this hottest girl of the three? Mm. So he goes all the way down to see who this girl followed first because he figures those are her best friends. Yeah.
Logical. Yes, that was psychological. It was psychological. Yeah. You see what I did there?
I do. So then he finds the girl, the hottest girl, friends her, slides into those DMs, and then they got married.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
All of y'all out there that are swiping and all this other stuff. Like, it's a wrap. It's canceled for that.
Just start looking in the background of music videos.
And you too will end up on the New York Times podcast. Yeah. Like you will arrive.
With the hottest friend in a group of friends.
Sorry, she's getting back in the photos.
Yeah. So.
You think he's unfollowed her?
Well, his public persona would lead me to believe.
Are we about to check?
I want you to go there.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Just you talk it through. I'll figure it out.
So they recently separated. And I think it was a few days before the record came out. There are a lot of references to her on this album. She is on the cover of it. But I think that, you know, we wanted to talk a little bit about his treatment and depiction of women in his music.
Still follows her.
Okay, good. That's, you know.
true respecting women hours. He still follows.
Yeah, that's his brand. Well, his announcement of their separating too was very Logic and was very like, it just didn't work out.
But also he was like low key, like, I want to be single. And I guess mixtape, I think mixtape Logic beat out.
Bobby Tarantino.
Yeah, he
wants to be single.
Hell yeah.
Which worries me because, I think a note
the women of Twitter should.
Yeah. Yeah, hide your hot friends.
Hide your avatars. Hide your avatars. Blur all your avatars. Bobby Tarantino is coming. So Bobby Tarantino is on the prowl. That's happening. But there is, and as we've been talking about, there is this kind of distinction between mixtape and album Logic. And everybody was quite a roller coaster. Mm. Have you listened to this whole record?
I have.
This is a lot.
Put in the hours.
So, okay. Let's just from a guest's perspective, there's a song that has both Black Thought and Chuck D. There's a song that has Killer Mike, pre-NRA. Mm-hmm. There's also a song that has Ansel Elgort. And there's a...
Young Gort.
Yes. Ansel Elgort, also known as the blood enemy of Chris Ryan.
I know this.
Seriously. Yeah.
That's a talk about a beef.
Real seriously, we don't speak Ansel Elgort's name. We don't even acknowledge. The only Ansel I acknowledge is Adams.
Damn.
True story. There's also a 12-minute and 8-second closing song with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
And?
It's called...
Oh, you have to say it.
Do I have to?
Yeah. You put it off. Deep breath.
It's called Africarian. That is a portmanteau of the two things that you think it is a portmanteau of. It's bad enough that comes after a song called Black Spider-Man. Actually, let's listen to a little bit of Black Spider-Man, which I don't like, but like, let's at least listen to it because it's like a half-popping Logic song.
So down, I think they should know now. I think they should know what's up. That's that road I've been down. I know how it go down. I know how it go now. What's up? I feel like I don't belong. I feel like my life is wrong. I feel like I don't know what's up. What's up? What's up?
Yeah. Hey,
I ain't here to pick and choose. I ain't here to sing the blues. I'm just here to spread the clues, I'm just here to spread the news. Everybody know I do. Listen, I ain't ashamed to be white, I ain't ashamed to be black, I ain't ashamed of my beautiful Mexican wife. As a matter of fact, I know you with that. And I'm not scared of the people who tell me I should be. Do what you love and don't ever wonder what it could be. Everybody from my hood, everybody know I'm good. Sometimes I'm misunderstood, but that's just the uneducated and never related. It feel like I'm faded, I'm right on my mind. Tell them, mama don't love me, daddy don't love me. Wonder why I'm drowning in the bubbly. You could be anything you wanna be. Set the person you don't wanna be. Let them hate, let them love. Wondering if everybody's still like this up above. When that push kinda shove, made me wanna pull up with the gat and the glove. Like, I just wanna be free, not a slave to the stereotype. All alone in my room in the middle of the night. I don't have the words but my stereo, mic. I don't wanna be black, I don't wanna be white. I just wanna be a man today. I don't wanna be a Christian, Muslim, gay, straight or bi. See you later, bye. Not perceived by the things I believe, by the color of my skin, or the fact I'm attracted to her, maybe him, and the fact I'm a single mother living all alone, looking for a man and a home to call my own. But I already had one. The only man I'ma ever need is my son, my son, my son, my son, son. Say, black is beautiful, black is beautiful. Be black and proud, be black and proud. Everybody hating on me right now, I'm black and proud, black and proud. I'm just as white as that Mona Lisa. I'm just as black as my cousin Keisha. I'm biracial, so
bye, Felicia.
Praise black Jesus, not called a preacher. Maybe Jesus was black. Maybe Jesus had dreads. Spider-Man should be black. I vote for Glover instead.
Glover instead. Like what's up? I vote for more.
And then comes Africarian.
Featuring Neil deGrasse Tyson. say it all.
Which is long. Yes, right. Speak it. Say it.
Speak its name.
Call it by its name. This is a struggle. My voice just went off. This is a genuine struggle. This is like when people talk about struggle rap, I know this isn't what they're talking about, but like this is what I'm talking about. This is a challenge. Please talk about this song. I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Well,
tears are welling up in my eyes.
That word, which I shall not speak, was actually supposed to be the title of the album.
Can you imagine?
And
who can relate?
Literally only Logic. So there was, you know, to no one's surprise, there was some backlash to that, and he ended up changing it to Everybody.
Oh my God.
But that's the song that J. Cole is on at the end. I think he's like uncredited.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Which is part of why it's 12 minutes long, but also he just repeats like the same verse a couple times too. So there's.
And also, shouts to Cole, because when I interviewed Cole a year ago, 2 years ago, he told me a little bit about the conversation he had with Logic that led, I believe, to this, or at least set the table for this. Sometimes what you got to do is you got to embrace the youth. You got to like, and by looking them in the eye and like explaining true things to them, like that's a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. Just throwing that out there. Anyway, please continue.
And this is part of what we wanted to get at anyway, is like he makes Cole look good on this track.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, say what, J. Cole, another podcast entirely,
sure.
But say what you will. I think Logic is like taking the spot of a certain kind of critical
pariah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
like
scapegoat that, yeah.
And this has a lot to do with the fragmentation of hip hop, where I think people, certainly on the critic side, have felt like, oh, I know where I can draw the line. Like I draw the line at J. Cole. Like J. Cole is corny.
Mm-hmm.
And like there was a part early in J. Cole where I think J. Cole was corny. I think the last J. Cole record is phenomenal. And I definitely like bang with Cole now. But like there was a stretch where he was not doing great work. He was pretty popular.
Uh-huh.
And it was extremely popular to be like J. Cole is the punchline to any rap crit joke.
Yeah. But now
it's all
Logic has sort of
all
taken
Logic.
That place. But let's like grapple with that a little bit too. Like, is it earned? Do we feel
he did say I get more Sex in the City than Sarah Jessica Parker. So yes.
No comment.
But notably, not more than Kim Cattrall.
Well, who can relate? I mean, it never doesn't work.
It's true.
It's never a bad response. It's the universal reply. No.
So yes, he has become, and I think he is a safe. He is a safe person to dismiss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that I know I've had to try to reckon with in my own lack of critical engagement with him, and that which I'm trying to rectify today and hopefully moving forward. I think that, you know, hip hop's primary narratives about, you know, whether they're about certain versions of masculinity, all the things that the stories that hip hop has historically told about itself, even in a Drake era, Logic operates outside of those things, predominantly, or at least largely, not that there's none of it on these albums, but he operates largely outside of those things. And so I think for people who are either like keep it real rap purists or even rap progressives, like sort of like 2010s rap progressives, he doesn't check any of the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally operating in his own space.
But I think one important thing to give him credit for too is the way he's able to rap about anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and really kind of like use that word, unpack what it means, talk about his experiences suffering from it, which that part of it feels new. And that feels like something that his fan base, particularly his young fan base, is like really connecting to. And I think that's what I really saw in that moment on Rapture. Like,
yep.
Because that also was, you know, we talk about anxiety differently than we did even like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like
publicly,
getting,
yeah.
yeah, to kind of reckoning with it as a legit mental disorder that people are suffering from,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of kids are suffering from. And so I think the way he's able to talk about that and validate it is a really important part of his appeal to his fan base, and something that, like, maybe you have to be going through that, or maybe you have to be a certain age and going through that to appreciate that.
To feel that level of connection. This is like a little bit of a screech transition, but it's honestly me. I don't know if it's that screech. What you're saying about Logic's engagement with anxiety and mental health reminds me a lot of what XXXTentacion is doing. And like my original idea for this podcast was we would sort of talk about them as these kind of almost like polar opposites of kind of internet driven, emotional male rapper, super squeaky clean and super problematic. And yet when I think about X, both in his music and also especially in his social media, talking about his own mental health or lack thereof or struggles, it sounds very similar to what you're talking about with Logic. Let's listen to something off of the most recent XXXTentacion album. Let's listen to Sad, which is the single.
Just afraid to let go. You decide if you're ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah. Who am I? Someone that's afraid to let go. You decide if you're ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I gave her everything. She took my heart and left me lonely. I think broken hearts contagious. I won't fix, I'd rather weep. I'm lost and I'm found, but it's torture being in love. I love when you're around, but I love, hate when you leave. Who am I? Someone that's afraid to let go. Suicide if you ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah. Who am I? Someone that's afraid to let go.
So, before we really get into this conversation, of course, we have to caveat the conversation. XXXTentacion is accused of doing some really heinous things. You can read the affidavit provided by his ex-girlfriend. Pitchfork has a copy of it, and it's posted on Pitchfork's website in an article that they wrote about his legal troubles. X is accused of battery of a pregnant woman, witness tampering, and other associated charges of kidnapping. Those are very, very bad things. And you would think in a lot of industries that would actually be enough pretense to kind of sweep someone out of the system. You know, you're seeing people get swept out of other industries for things certainly not this violent, not this physically violent. Hip hop and pop music is not moving in exactly the same way. And X has a tremendous internet following, and that internet following has manifested into some genuine hits. Look at Me, which was his breakthrough, a SoundCloud breakthrough in 2017, was on the radio quite a bit. This album debuted at number one on the Billboard albums chart.
Knocking Logic out of number one, Gabby Tarantino.
I mean, this is, someday someone will write a dissertation about this particular two-week period in hip-hop history, I'm sure. Some kid who's like 14 right now, like that's what their doctorate's going to be about.
If you're listening, hi.
Yes, hi. Call us. We're here for you. So X has been accused of doing some really bad things. And we're in a moment where you look at him and you look at Tekashi 6ix9ine, who also is operating with a similar kind of cloud hovering over him based on prior bad acts or alleged prior bad acts.
I think he pled guilty.
He did, yes. So in Tekashi's case, he pled guilty. Actual, bad acts. But these are people who have legit hits and legit fans. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about the mechanisms of that. And I was struck by engaging with X's music a couple weeks ago when I was writing about the album, and engaging with Logic this week. And there were things that triggered me pretty similarly. And I wonder, you've written about both as well. Can you talk also about sort of reckoning with writing about X, maybe just for a second?
Yeah, for sure. Because I think they're so, especially after the album went to number one, mm-hmm. I think that was this moment of just like, this guy's here.
Mm-hmm.
People are listening to this. Like, he consistently has multiple tracks in the Spotify top 50.
Yep.
Like, he's a very popular artist on streaming. So, like, people are listening to him,
mm-hmm.
whether
you
critics want
not.
To grapple with yep. it or not. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are some people, for very good reason, who are like, I'm just going to not engage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pretend like this is not happening. There are so many other options of what to listen to in the streaming era that, like, why would I listen to someone who has done such horrible things mm-hmm. to women? But I think you have to, like, the level of popularity.
You engage with the culture. You engage with the culture as you're given, as it's given to you, not as you sort of wish
yeah,
it to be.
Yeah, I think that we can't pretend like he's not popular right now.
Right.
I think we have to look at why mm-hmm. and what is going on here, what he's speaking to, and like why it doesn't matter to a certain type of fan, or why it even like gives him more clout.
And also why it doesn't matter to a certain kind of industry executive.
For sure.
I mean, that's the story. Like,
well, I think a lot of that is just money.
Yes.
You know,
also no women in the boardroom, you know, like uh-huh. women not in decision-making positions of authority, money, of course. Yeah, like, I think for me, the reason to engage with it is because it's popular, kind of whether or not we pay attention, and like part of the job is to engage with what's happening, and this is like an actual thing that's happening. But the kind of like the second tier of it is like, how come nobody else is engaging in some sort of assessment, even if it's a record label or a publisher
yeah.
or radio stations or Spotify or any of these
and
other.
I think a strange kind of, you know, as I had to kind of, I did not initially want to write about him or Logic for a totally different reason, but kind of went back to both of them and were just like, no, I really feel like as a critic, I have a responsibility to look at like, why is this mm-hmm. more popular than the Taylor Swift album? Like, I think there are two, maybe three X songs on the Hot 100 right now that are higher than the latest Taylor Swift single. Mm-hmm. So, like, to ignore that and to pretend like we're only going to cover Taylor Swift and only look at the happy side of that narrative just feels kind of myopic to me. But mm-hmm. I totally respect people that don't want to go there. And I do think one byproduct of that is in an industry where there's already too few women in the room. Like, I feel like most of the people who are just like piecing out of this conversation for very good reason are women.
Yeah.
So that's annoying, just as someone that wants these conversations to be
sure.
more diverse. So yeah, it's tough. And I think something about the question mark album that is really interesting and maybe troubling to some people is like, there are pop songs on. It's like
oh, yeah.
his pop album kind
yeah.
of, and Sad in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the one song of his that like I could hear on the radio. Or there are a few things. I think that's what's different from the last tape, is like he's kind of showing, no, like I can be really accessible.
Yeah, there is something. I mean, look, these songs were recorded on house arrest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they're recorded at a producer's studio, but you know,
yeah.
Did he recently get permission to tour? I think maybe he recently got permission to tour from
sure.
a judge. I'm not 100% sure.
You know, he's been on house arrest.
Right, yeah, he's been on house arrest for months. So these are not, you know, Los Angeles studio concoctions. Like, this is him in a room with maybe one or two other people. Much like the previous album, the songs are structurally unpolished. Like, he has a lot of short stuff. He has stuff that's not your traditional pop song, your normal build and bridge and et cetera, et cetera. But he has pretty strong instincts when it comes to
mm-hmm.
craft. And one wonders if his cases get resolved and if he continues to make music, one wonders how far that will lead him and whether anyone will stop him along the way.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
This is a troubling album to find enjoyment in mm-hmm. of any kind.
Well, that was, I think this album came out like while I was writing about the Logic tape, and I found myself almost like preferring to listen to that than everybody and feeling gross about it
mm-hmm.
too. Cause like, but there's, I think there's this, yeah, it just, it's a really complicated thing. And I think a lot of people are grappling with it right now. Again, I respect people who are just like, I'm not going to listen to this guy.
Opt out.
I'm not going to listen to 6ix9ine. Like, but you, it's, people are listening to this and kids are. And I think there's, we got to look at like why.
And there's also added layers of complication. I mean, one thing that you hear on this album, and again, you hear, you see it in his social media, is this kind of almost like, and again, something he has in common with Logic, which this is gonna, this is getting rough to talk about, but it's real. But like this almost like messianic impulse. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's something I've picked up on this record, and it, like he's talking directly to people. He's like talking about their dark secrets and like his own dark secrets.
All
and
of kind his of
like
albums,
you're welcome in here.
They begin with this kind of spoken word, very like, this is what I'm about to do. This is who this is for. And I know that you are suffering too. Like, it's very intense. It's very emo.
It's vulnerable, but it's kind of a taunt also, because it's like, if you're not ready for this.
Yeah. Like, it's like a disclaimer as well. Yeah. So I, so more so than Logic, obviously, he's playing around with like the rap, rock, and emo, and even like his punk idiom.
Oh yeah.
There's kind of like a hardcore song on the album, which like a
lot of.
And
there's also
album,
like a Latin pop song on this record
that I think is called like "I Don't Even Speak Spanish."
LOL,
which is, that's a flex, but because it's like a decent song,
yeah.
And he's like, "I'm not even trying." So it feels like this is him being like, "These are all the things I can do." He does traffic in a lot of different genres, but I think something about him, so. He's speaking really directly, kind of like Logic, to people who are depressed, people who are anxious, like suicidal even. Like there's a lot of references to suicide in his songs, which is like kind of a trend right now.
Yep.
It's a little weird. Even like, do you know the new Bow Wow album?
Yes.
The title is Suicide Spelled Backwards, which is like.
Yes.
And I've. To me, that felt like the moment where I was like, okay, can we like stop with this for a second? Like,
do you think Bow Wow's doing it because it's on trend?
I kinda,
or you think Bow Wow's just like really vulnerable right now?
I hope he's not doing it because it's on trend, but that was like my first thought.
Actually, that's, not what I thought that's actually not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to pick the other one.
Oh, no. Who can relate? anyway, but I think, okay, so he's working in this idiom of like emo and just directly singing about depression. Like I think I described him when I wrote about him before as like if Elliott Smith was in Odd Future.
Yeah.
Like that's what he's marrying. And those artists, when they're singing really or making music that really intimately addresses a depressed listener, there's a different kind of pact there. And I think just as like, so, like, speaking of Elliott Smith in that way, like, I think I was in high school when he committed suicide. That hit me on a gut level.
Yeah.
And I think it did a lot of his fans because in a way that it wouldn't have if he wasn't someone who sang about depression and then, like, succumbed to it, basically.
Yeah.
So there's a very intense connection there between the listener and the artist when you go into that space that he's going into. It feels very personal, very intimate. So I think reckoning the intimate, personal, and really kind of searching music that he's making with the details of his personal life. And it's just really tricky. And I think part of what is so disappointing about him to me is like, he feels in some way like he is presenting an alternative to traditional hip hop masculinity, which is great. We need that. We need more of that. But then on the other side, he's indulging in the worst parts of that and is like abusing a pregnant woman and doing all these terrible things. That so I think reckoning those two sides of him is what I'm having the hardest time doing, and what I can see why his fans would be like, I'm only going to focus on the first side and the kind of sensitive guy that I'm hearing on these albums. Like, it's a
also
lot.
Also, the fans are young.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. Like, so I remember the early months of 2017 going to various SoundCloud rapper shows. Obviously, X wasn't any of them because he was either in jail or couldn't travel or whatever. But anytime X songs would come on, these kids, and they are kids, you know, I very rarely go into dad mode here on Bobcast, but like these are kids, you know, 14, 15, they lost it. And I don't know if these kids don't have finely honed moral sense. I don't know if they're not, you know, home trained, and I, you know, I don't know what it is, but I don't know. Maybe my friend circle's not open enough, but I don't know a lot of, like, say, 27-year-olds who are really in X. Most of the people who I've encountered by dint of my work who seem to be really in X are like 14 to 17 mm-hmm. and who are maybe not engaging at all.
Yeah,
the potential moral.
And also, my relationship to music at that age was really weird
mm-hmm.
and really kind of troubling, and something that as a critic, I've kind of gone back. So, like, I kind of came up through a punk scene and like an emo scene, which is a lot of what X is gesturing towards.
Yes.
And I think that the problems that I have with him are some of the problems that I've had retroactively with that scene
yep.
that I came up in, which is largely misogyny and just excluding women,
mm-hmm.
Even being violent to women. I think that
both in terms of you're talking about it in the music, but also the lived
in
scene.
Life. Like, yes. Yeah. I always kind of felt like an outsider in that scene. I didn't know a lot of women making music however many years ago, like, I think that's changed a lot in the punk scene in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the, like, SoundCloud rap thing has caught up to that yet. There's not a lot of...
I can't think of a single female artist in that ecosystem.
Yeah.
There's obviously loads of good female rappers right now, but
yeah,
in that particular ecosystem.
Because if the reputation is all of this problematic behavior, like, why would you want to be a part of that
mm-hmm.
as a female artist? Like, so I think... that part of it's very troubling and feels just like this feedback loop of, like, of course, women aren't going to want to be associated with this if there's so much misogyny and violence. But I think it just – what disappoints me the most is that in a lot of ways it's all – like, X uses the word alternative. He calls it the alternative sound. Which
I know,
is,
like, it's the 1950s. Are you kids ready for the alternative
yeah,
sound?
Yeah, in the intro. But it just – the whole – to kind of profess the alternative sound, even Logic is kind of doing this too, but to not dream of something beyond patriarchy and beyond just
right.
like that.
Not the alternative values.
Yeah.
But, right.
Exactly. That's what kind of just makes me like tired about all this. Like, it feels like I can't fully get behind like, yay, this is this cool new thing that's happening. It's interesting to watch, but it's also dispiriting at the same time because it feels like the same old thing.
Have you given any thought to how this might game out? Because I've been thinking a lot about with him and, you know, Tekashi to me is like in a slightly different position because he's mm-hmm. pled to his crime. And
yeah.
that was before he was like a thing.
Uh-huh.
It was like 3 or 4 years ago. And you sort of wonder, like, is there a path that includes these folks, or is that completely off the table? Because the thing that I've learned over the last year is whether or not I have a deep moral reaction to this behavior, that doesn't stop X from having the number one album in the country. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't stop Tekashi from being on Hot 97 once an hour. And so you begin to wonder, like, well, how is this going to game out? Like, is this a now permanent state of affairs that there's no reckoning public for this behavior, and these are just people who are now in the conversation? Or is there still a universe where somehow popular opinion comes back around to them, where they take responsibility? I don't know. I don't know what the game de pachinko is, you know?
Yeah, I don't know either. And I think that it's with these guys in particular, it's just like a big question mark, not to bring it back to that. But yeah, it seems like X might go to jail for a while.
Yeah.
Like which is unfortunate in a lot of ways, but like, mm-hmm. I don't know that he's going to develop as an artist as he would have if all this didn't happen, which I think, like, good.
Mm-hmm.
If he did those things,
yes.
then
there should be some sort of punishment for it.
Of absolutely. So I do think he's the most, like, artistically promising of this crop.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what his future looks like and if he has one.
Did you have a reaction to the Noah Cyrus song that he was on?
Oh, yeah. I just, like, have a reaction to Noah Cyrus
well, sure.
in general.
Yeah,
but,
of course. I couldn't tell if that song went away because they buried it or that song went away just because it wasn't very good.
I think it wasn't very good, but it also was just, like, maybe a premature... It was marriage of those two worlds. Like, it didn't make sense yet. I think
I remember, like, I was like immediately like filled with revulsion when I saw that, and I was shocked that like no person in between that song and the world was like, maybe this isn't a great idea. Mm-hmm. Like, that blew my mind.
Which is like, maybe it's a good thing that that didn't hit. Like, maybe that
taught a lesson.
Tell us that, like, I think part of why it seems like SoundCloud rap is like having this mainstream moment is because it's they've kind of found a way to game the way the charts are calculated right now, too. So, like, part of this is like Billboard not figuring out how to account for streaming quite yet. And the fact that, like, these are highly streamed artists and are just like able to turn that into whatever they're calling it, units sold.
Right. Streaming, like, equivalent.
Yeah. So I think part of it is the metric and part of it is the actual music. But I don't know what happens from here. So I think that at least, like, I don't know that this is like, I don't know that like Katy Perry is going to be. I don't want to make any predictions.
No, I agree. You know, that's actually extremely safe to not make a prediction.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that this is leveling up in that pop way.
Right.
But I think the underground contingent of it is like going to be incredibly popular on the internet and is going to make waves on the charts because of that.
So in essence, you're saying the question is, how seriously do we take those chart waves? How much attention do it? Because obviously you want to take them seriously because they reflect actual attention, but do they reflect cultural saturation? Maybe not quite as much.
Because, there's kind of the first week bump, too, is like very real with these. But
to go sort of down the road a little bit of male tears.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
Yeah, let's go back to that. So here we have two hip-hop or hip-hop adjacent artists who are trafficking in a kind of vulnerability. They're related. They're not the same. Mm-hmm. But they're related vulnerabilities. And I think these vulnerabilities are all sort of directly traceable to a Drake, Cole, even Chance. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of post that. The sound is very
post 808s, like largely umbrella-wise.
Of course. And so that's a hip-hop narrative, but you were talking earlier about emo and punk scenes and scenes that ostensibly were about ethics and prized equality and respect and whatever, but didn't embody it either in terms of the subject matter or, as we are learning, you know, say with the case of Jesse Lacey, with the actual interpersonal behavior.
Mm-hmm. So when I first read about X, I think it was like August of last year, I wrote a piece that has aged very poorly because I talked about Peep, rest in peace, Jesse Lacey from Brand New, like when the Brand New album came out, but before the allegations of sexual harassment had come out about him, sexual misconduct.
It was a heady week.
So I kind of structured it of like, maybe this is a step forward. Maybe they will age as gracefully as Brand New. And now Peep is gone and Jesse Lacey is not a role model for any of these dudes to be. And that.
But in the same way, it aged well because these people have a lot in common. These are people with questionable personal behaviors who are, you know, grappling with vulnerability in their music, but it's a very, like, a resent-laden vulnerability.
It blames the girl for everything, basically. Mm-hmm. But I think an interesting, like, as you mentioned, we canceled Jesse Lacey. Like, we just canceled Brand New, even though I loved that record for, like, the minute it was out before we knew, like, all about him.
And I went to the show at King's Theater, and I was like, this is great.
Yeah,
like, what a
and
great.
I kind of don't know what to do with that love for that record now. I don't listen to it. I kind of can't go there right now. And they're also a band that I have a very personal history with. I think what shook me about those allegations about him, which were just soliciting things from, like, underage girls, blah, blah, blah. But I was the age of those girls when I was into Brand New. Mm-hmm. And that kind of
shook you.
Like, made me go, but also made me reflect on, like, that is the age of, like, a lot of people listening to X and his cohort. Like, and I don't know. So I think a lot of this has to do with youth and not having all of the moral capacity to, like, deal with this stuff yet. Mm-hmm. I certainly wouldn't have when I was that age. I don't even know. Like, I'm still developing it now. I'm still grappling through this.
Who can relate?
Literally, only Logic. No.
So is Logic sort of a balm?
Well, I think my main takeaway with Logic is just like he's the guy that provides solutions to these really messy problems, right? So X is kind of...
He's the IT consultant.
Totally. He's at the Genius Bar doing the Rubik's Cube, like with one hand.
He's like, oh, your phone's lagging? Yeah, I can get that.
So I think there's a lot of just really murky stuff that is being explored in all of this music. Logic is the guy being like, it's all going to be okay. Maybe that's a false narrative. Maybe nothing's going to be okay, mm-hmm. but I see...
Certainly feels that way.
Yeah, you could say that, but that's why you don't like Logic, maybe, right?
Maybe.
Like,
maybe.
I think he's kind of selling the feel-good solution, like, gesturing towards and even speaking to these problems, but offering, like, the Rubik's Cube that's been solved. Whereas, like, you're not going to get that. Listening to X or following him or just paying any sort of attention to that whole scene right now. So I think Logic is the kind of mainstream counterpart to that. And it makes sense that his rise is kind of
in lockstep with. Yeah. Let's go out by listening to a song, literally any song by a woman. Like, let's just play some Soccer Mommy. Let's play should we play some Soccer
Sure,
Mommy?
Why not?
Okay. I feel like after this conversation, like what I need to hear is not what we've just been listening to. Ooh, Still Clean.
I do like that one. I like Your Dog too.
I mean, that would be my.
That's
all right.
The jam.
Let's just do it.
That's the jam.
Oh my god.
That's the boom trap protocol.
It really. Yeah, I was listening to this in the car the other day.
I love
it. On repeat. Oh my god. I was on IG stories, just like going over the Kosciuszko Bridge, like just blasting Your Dog.
I mean, maybe that's like the takeaway here is like it took the punk and emo and indie scene like a long time to allow young women voices into that fold. I don't think there would have been a Soccer Mommy when I was her age.
That's fair.
Like, I would, well, yeah, it's complicated.
It is.
Again, you know, maybe eventually that space will open up in the SoundCloud rap era. Like, I just don't think it's going to happen now because there is so much negative testosterone.
Yes, more moral and amoral clutter.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's not morally or amorally cluttered?
Soccer Mommy?
Hell yeah. This is Your Dog. That's our extremely relatable show. Thank you to my guest, Lindsay Zolads, for coming for the first time, but hopefully not the last. You can listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. You can email us at podcast@nytimes.com about any of your feelings about relatability or non-relatability or which
soccer. Your dissertation about Logic and
I would like to, I would read that. Just I want to go on record saying I would
I'll
read it.
I'll forward it to you.
Yes, when it arrives, I would read it. So please send that our way. Subscribe to the podcast at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your audio content. Our producer in the big room today is Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media, and we will be back next week.